Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to kind of dig deep into Israel and Palestine, kind of that whole Canaan region. If you've studied a little bit of history, you'll kind of make sense of it. We're going to see who's been there, who's been chased out, who came back, and kind of how many hundreds of times they did it. If you look at it from the religious perspective, the Jewish people were not exactly prone to doing God's will, and so they ended up getting into a little trouble over and over again.
Yeah,
so it kind of got a little hairy.
Yeah, speaking biblically, that was kind of their go-to for the whole Old Testament was making God mad, God getting them,
letting them wander around like an idiot.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, I mean, I think that is the whole kind of parent thing of like, oh yeah, you don't want to do what you're told. All right, you figure it out. See what happens. Because that's really the only way kids learn, right?
Right.
But it's been going on since the beginnings of human history, and I don't think many of us have learned. I mean, how many times are you banging your head against the wall, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still do that. I'm in my 40s and I'm still still doing stupid, retarded things.
All right. But now,
what are you going to do?
I know, you know, we talk about survival prepping, but I got to say these wars, things going on here do kind of affect everybody. And at least it affects your budget, right? Your tax dollars are fighting endless wars. But I feel like our government, it doesn't matter where it is or what it is, we'll just throw money at it because we're like, we got to build weapons because my friends, they build weapons. And if we don't buy them, who will?
Right. And who's gonna donate millions of dollars to my campaign
if
they're not making money?
Exactly. So that's how it goes. So let's kind of dig down and jump into it, I guess. So anyway, basically, the Palestinian people and the Muslim religion and the Israeli and Jewish people religion all kind of trace back. They all claim that they come, they're descendants of Abraham.
Right.
And they go way back. They actually, it's Abraham had a little quick history. The story was Abraham was married to Sarah, and Sarah could not get pregnant for forever. So, and forever, I mean hundreds of years. And yeah, when you're over 100, you're like, you know, I'm getting
usually
old.
Usually don't get pregnant when you're over 100.
That's like a general rule, right? You just don't have the same pep in your step. that you do when you're in your 20s. So anyway, so he ends up getting a, they call it a maid servant in the Bible. And, or actually, it's one of Sarah's maid servants, I believe, that, you know, they help Sarah. And therefore, hey, I can't do my job. You know, Abraham needs to have an heir. So we need to work that out. So she has a son at the maidservant. Her name is Hagar. And has a son, Ishmael. Now, later, God is like, no, you know what? You're going to have a child with Sarah. And they get into that whole thing. And that becomes Isaac.
Right.
Now, the Jews claim history up to Isaac and then Abraham. And that's the line of David. And that's when people think of the Jewish people, they're thinking of that line of David. And David is a descendant of, and then Jesus is a descendant of the line of David, is the biblical, you know, thing there. We can get into whether, well, if it was God, then is it really even connected to Joseph?
That's, you know, when they trace the ancestry back, they go from Joseph. But I mean, that's not really, Joseph didn't get Mary pregnant with Jesus.
Yeah. And we're going back to the whole Hagar thing and who, you know, exactly. So, and then the Muslim religion claims back to Ishmael. However, I do have to point out that the Muslim religion, it ended up being about 1900 years later that Muhammad came. And they, you know, started the Muslim religion. I'm just saying the people trace back to Ishmael, if that makes sense. All right. So we're kind of jump in here. So 1300 BC, that's a long time ago. That's when Moses is in Egypt, right? Now, don't worry. We're going to get modern pretty quick. I just need about 10 minutes here to lay out a foundation. So if you're like, well, I didn't come here to learn about the Bible, and then that's all right. We're going to get you there. Kevin has all kinds of good stuff for you. But you've seen the Disney movie, and you know if Disney movies are made, then it must be true.
Right, so that's how Prince it works.
Just like Pinocchio and all, right? True story, right? So Prince of Egypt, and they, Moses, and he's in Egypt, and God tells him, you know, go settle, and you're going to have your own land. And so they're going for the land of Canaan is where God told them to go in the Bible. Now, it's Canaan is that whole Middle Eastern, region where it basically includes Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, West Bank, Gaza, basically that whole region. Like think country versus state and Israel just being like a state for those of you who don't really follow geography and, you know, the world. But anyway, so trying to sort out so I can see what's going on. They basically, Moses starts heading there. That's around 1300, 1000 BC. They actually kind of get Joshua goes to Jerusalem area and the kingdom of David. There's the whole 12 tribes of Judah,
right?
The kingdom of David is established. That's 1000 BCE. The temple, the first temple, you know, you see that whole Dome of the Rock thing going on. It's not that same one. You're going to hear that it kind of gets destroyed a few times. That gets built around 957, or actually in 957 BCE.
Okay.
Kingdom of Judah established. 586, the Babylonians come, and in this BC still, 586 BC, the Babylonians conquer and destroy the temple, and they conquer the people and throw them out. So they end up leaving the whole Jerusalem area. 515, they're back. Second temple is built, and they're basically pretty content for 500 years. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on, but we'll just keep things moving. 63 BC, in Rome, Pompey, you know him as the emperor, but at the time, 63 BCE, was a general. He decided, you know what? I want that area. He goes over, takes care of that whole Judea area, obviously not called Israel at the time, but we'll say Jerusalem. And it became a state of the Roman Empire. And this is 63 BCE. And technically, yeah, all right, that was a state. Now we're in AD here, 130, the Jews revolt against Rome. And when they do that, they kind of basically fight a war for 6 years and against Rome. And it turns out the Jewish people didn't win. They don't have a big history of coming up aces, you know? Mm-hmm. So 136, as an insult to the Jewish people, they rename it Palestine. Oh, you're seeing a play here? So we're 1,300 years later, it gets named Palestine. And it basically means conquered.
Right.
And so it was kind of supposed to be like an insult to the Jewish people. Like, yeah, we got you. You know, and I mean, obviously, if you're the one doing the conquering, then that's kind of a victorious name and where that would come from, right? That would be a more positive thing. Basically, about 636, the Arabs take over. However, the mighty Christian armies of the Catholic Church roll in between like 1099 and 1291 with the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to expand on with the Crusades? You have any?
No, go ahead.
No, keep moving. All right. 1291, Mamluk rule. That's a Muslim people here. Oh, and six Muhammad comes. Do you have the date? It's 600 and something AD. 630 somewhere.
No, I don't have the exact date.
I think it's 666 something.
Right.
I thought I had written it down. I don't know. I dropped the ball.
Right. That starts converting a lot of the Arab people.
Right.
Who were multiple religions at this point.
Right. But again, we're still going back to Abraham. So these are all genetically the same people, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, obviously deviations, right? I guess genetically, we can all go back to Adam and Eve if you're going to look at it like that, right? Mm-hmm. We're taking Bible history as the word of the day here. All right. So the Jewish land ownership was, in 1517, the Ottoman Empire, which again, Muslim people took over. Jewish land ownership was forbidden at that time. And they would actually like broker deals kind of like today where, you know, they would like Muslim people would own the land, but they would lease it and kind of let you own it if you were Jewish.
Right.
And, you know, kind of, it was some shadiness going on. 1897, the Zionist movement trying to create a Jewish state. You had something you wanted to go into on that, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean we can talk right about that.
Let's just say I brought you up to speed. We're at 1897. We'll call it modern history.
Yeah. And Theodore Herzl. He's a big name in this. So he was basically, you know, Zionism had been going on for a long time. Zionism is basically a national movement to establish a homeland for the Jewish people in Palestine. That had been going on since the early 1800s. They had the first Zionist Congress in Switzerland in August in 1897. So this is pre-World War I. Now what was going on in Europe before World War I was Western Europe they were okay with the Jews. You know what I mean? There was still some stuff going on that wasn't great. You know, it wasn't great to be Jewish in Western Europe, but it was really not great to be Jewish in Eastern Europe. They had like multiple pogroms, and pogrom is basically a state sponsored, or at least the state didn't do anything to stop them. People would be like, oh, a disease broke out. It must be those evil Jews that are using black magic because they're not getting sick. Yeah, because they were separate from everybody else, and they actually like clean themselves and like washed and things like that, which most Europeans weren't really into. But you know, anything bad that happened, it was the Jews' fault. And so they just go and smash babies' heads in and rape women and you know, kill kids in front of their parents and then kill the parents and just awful, awful shit all the time. You know, your house is now my house. Get the fuck out of here. You know, that sort of shit. That was just a pretty common thing. So people in
America had a history of something like that. Well, against Jewish people, but wasn't there somebody else that we...
There were a couple of Native Americans, black right. people. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Got distracted.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But, it was not great to be Jewish in Eastern Europe. It happened a lot. You know, these things happen a lot. Like, you know, multiple times a year in different cities, especially Russia. They're like, listen, we got to stop living with these people. We got to find our own spot. And they looked around a little bit. Pretty much they settled on Palestine pretty quickly. But that was, I mean, the motto was a land without a people for a people without a land. The problem was it wasn't really a land without a people. There are already people living there. You know, a lot of Arabs, a couple of Christians and a couple of Jews were already there. So the first Zionist Congress, it was covered by the press internationally pretty big. And this publicity inspired the forgery of the anti-Semitic, the Protocols of Zion, which or the Elders of Zion, which was really just made up. It was just propaganda. Somebody wrote all that shit. It wasn't anything related to anything real. But, you know, people hated Jews. So, I mean, they bought it. You know, they're like, oh, look at this. They're trying to take
Turns
over
out
the
they
world.
Were
it's
evil.
A big
right.
global cabal.
Right.
Yep. So, World War I starts up. And if you've studied anything about World War I, it was awful. You know, everybody was dying. Millions of people, you know, 30, 40,000 people a day being killed in these wars. All over the place. And England was like really fucked. You know, they had no money. They had no money left. They spent it all on bombs. You know, they were trying to get alliances anywhere they could. So it was basically France, England, and Russia against Germany. And, you know, the Ottoman Empire got in there and they came in the side of Germany during the First World War. So they were trying to get anybody they could to like take on their side. So they promised Arab tribes in the Ottoman Empire that after the Ottoman Empire collapsed after the war, they would get all this land over here.
Well, yeah, no, let me just stop you just a second. 1917, a little bit earlier, we're going back probably about 10 years, 15 years. They had the Balfour Declaration.
Right. I'm getting up to that. Yeah.
All right. But that was actually a little bit before. And then they were like, ooh, the Muslims.
Right. Well,
don't
during
like that,
the First
we
World
need
War
those guys,
in 1914, the okay. they were promising that land to everybody, France,
right.
The Arab population. England was taking a big portion of it, but also they promised it to the Jews. There are a lot of rich Jewish banking families that they borrowed a lot of money from, and they kept borrowing money from them because they were going to give them, you know, a big strip of land in the Middle East. So the Balfour Declaration was a public statement issued by the British government during the First World War, November 1917, announcing support for the establishment of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. So the war ends, and they're like, yeah, everybody gets everything. Everybody gets all this land.
Yeah.
So France gets basically Lebanon, which the southern portion of this at that time was Palestine, right? The Arabs get the Middle East there, all of it, and the Jews get Palestine. So basically they had made a bunch of promises to everybody that they would give them whatever they wanted, and they just told everybody that they were going to give them the same piece of land.
Right. Well, Palestine, as far as I understand it, now you can correct me here, Israel, Jordan, Syria, kind of West Bank, all that. That was all that whole area was right. Palestine was the idea.
Right. The map that you see right now of that area is not at all right. what it was before today, the First World War. Right. They redrew all the lines, right. like regardless of who lived where and all that sort of right. stuff. And just and
said, Jordan was the place. Border now. Border now. Not a place. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was over and over again. It kind of, that's just a whole mess when we get into that. But
yeah. So it didn't really, I mean, a few Jews moved down to Israel, but it wasn't, you know, Palestine, I should say. It wasn't Israel at the time. But most of the people in Western Europe, most of the Jews were like, well, I'm a Frenchman. I'm an Englishman. I'm Jewish, but I'm part of this. I don't need a different country. You know, it wasn't really that awful to be living in England or in France or anywhere in Western Europe. It wasn't really that awful to be Jewish. I mean, yeah, people did shitty things and people said shitty things. And there are a couple of issues here and there where anti-Semitic stuff flared up. But ultimately it was the Holocaust that started, you know,
that was the negative. So there was a little negativity towards
turns out after World War II, people started figuring out, you know, really people didn't know that this was happening until after the war and they started coming across these camps.
Yeah.
And all the ashes of dead bodies, then, you know, starved people and people, I mean, you've seen the pictures of them, like skin and bones, like really, those are the people that managed to survive, you know?
Yeah.
Millions of Jews were killed. Millions of, I mean, it was Jews, but it was also Slavs and people with mental handicaps. It was gypsies. There weren't a whole lot of Africans there. There were a lot less Africans there in Europe after World War II. They basically killed everybody that wasn't white European living in Europe at that time.
If you don't look like me, I mean, come on.
You know what I mean? Weird. So, yeah, so they basically a lot of people started moving down to Israel after this. They're like, oh, this did not work out well for us, and we're not going to wait around for it to happen, you know, this a third time around, a second time around.
Yeah.
So May 14th, 1948, that was the establishment. The State of Israel was established, marking the end of British rule in Palestine. They had their own country now. And this pissed everybody off. So that was the first Arab-Israeli war was in 1948. And basically what happened was a bunch of small Arab armies in Palestine started attacking Jewish settlements. Then everybody decided to join in. So Lebanon sent an army down, Syria sent an army in, right. Iraq sent an army in, Egypt sent an army in, Saudi Arabia sent an army to be controlled by, you know, Egyptian military.
Like the UN.
Yeah. It didn't work out for anybody. The Jews ended up winning pretty quickly. It was basically surprise attacks, but they pretty quickly turned the offensive around and that's basically where we got the borders that we have today. They pushed Palestinians into certain sections of the country. You've got Gaza in the West Bank right now. Pretty familiar with that. The West Bank is the West Bank of the Dead Sea. Is that right? And then,
I think, or is it the Jordan? No, yeah. You're right. It is the Dead Sea.
And so that's,
it is the Jordan River. So yeah, I mean, it kind of goes all along. It's the Jordan River and the Dead Sea is at the end of that.
Right. So the West Bank is actually in Eastern Israel. It might confuse you saying West Bank. It's actually Eastern Israel. It's the West Bank of the Jordan River.
Well, if you just turn it over, East is on the other side is I think how it works.
Yeah.
But
there you go. So that's basically what happened there to get the state we're in right now. The people that lived in Israel were basically pushed out. And there were a lot of conflicts. As the Jews started moving into Israel in 1918, 1919, 1920, there was only about 8 to 10% of the population. You know, the most of the population was actually Palestinians, Arabs, right. Muslims, you know, different groups. And they lived there for centuries, you know. Right. They were living in the same house and the same land that their great-grandparents had lived on. And, you know, how long does it take to establish residency? How long does it take to establish, like, a people? You know, what does a people mean? You know? So everybody's got their hands in the same pot.
And just because you're somewhere, does it actually entitle you to the land? Like the Indians, right? They were here first. Is this all theirs?
Yeah.
See, I made you think there for a second. Or not really.
Well, I mean, but it's really just now, who kills the most people.
Right,
really
there you go. Now you're forever, understanding right? how the world works.
Yeah, that's been going on for
you know, that's
thousands
the whole
of years.
Argument, though. Like, you go, well, yeah, but the Indians, what about the tribes that they kicked out that were there before them? And it kind of is an endless cycle. And bottom line, it's who's got the biggest guns. Kind of ends up with the land. I mean, that's now you're probably saying right now, well, we're civilized, but are we?
Are we really civilized? How long have we been civilized?
Yeah, I mean, or is that like a new thing? 1939, they actually the British, the Arabic people were really unhappy with the whole Jewish thing. Turns out that was the first time that ever happened. No, I just took a little liberty there. Anyway, they actually limited immigration to 75,000 a year to that region. And they wanted it, you know, just keep it slow. You had mentioned in the 60s that it kind of established like the borders that we know now. 1964, the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization. Do you know this, Kevin? The PLO, you have an insight here.
No, they heard of them.
They were calling for the elimination of Israel. That's kind of actually where that, what is it, from the river to the sea, you know, Palestine be free. Right. That was kind of their thing. And we actually they actually had a no peace, no recognition, no negotiation. And that's kind of the theme throughout. You know, and that's they're always like, oh, we need peace in the Middle East. Well, that's kind of the ongoing like Arabic theme is no peace, no recognition, no negotiation.
Yeah. Now, most schools in Palestine,
yes,
Palestinians, they're taught that whole area is still Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's still their education program in grade school, middle school in Palestine.
Now, then we can bump up to 1979 Camp David Accord. This one would be they actually Camp David, they negotiated a peace accord basically between Egypt and Israel. And Egypt said, you know what, as long as we can make our money and America does good things and keeps slipping us cash, we're just good,
right?
Like, we're gonna kind of leave Israel alone and we'll stay out of it. We got our big pyramids and everything. We're giving tours. Mm-hmm. Who knows what gold we're finding underneath? It's like gold rush. Everything's working out.
They're super into Christian tourists, but they're not super into Christians like being there and living there.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You can go to Egypt and have a great time being a tourist, but don't try and fucking move there.
The Christian tourists are fun because you can take them on the camel ride way out in the middle of the desert.
Right.
And then you're like, yeah, it's going to cost you more to get back.
$5.
That's $5. It was $1.
It used to just be
$1.
Yeah, now it's $5.
$5 if inflation. You want to go back. You know.
Yeah.
You gotta go just far enough that you can't see anything. You know, you got to go over some hills.
Right.
And get them turned around a little bit, you know. And then, yeah. I'm just saying you got to keep your options open. Now, after that, they ended up, there's this guy, Yasser Arafat.
I've heard of him.
You've heard of him. All right.
Yeah.
So Yasser Arafat, there was this president, we'll call him, in the 80s after Reagan called George Bush. Now, you're thinking the fun cowboy W.
Yeah.
Not him.
Not that one.
Not that guy.
Yeah.
There's another one.
the CIA director. The dude was into all sorts of shady shit before he became vice president.
There was, you know, people always think, oh, well, he was the vice president to Reagan, so he must be, you know, Reagan-like and a great guy.
Right.
Well, you know, I know people have their opinions on Reagan and they're trying to shape history. I feel like it might be changed and a little slanted in different directions, but whatever. Mm-hmm. That's a story for another day. But what you got to realize is when you have presidents and they're running, they pick a vice president who is the opposite for the party as what they are.
Right. So that way, if you're a northerner, you want a southerner vice president. Yeah.
So if you're super conservative libertarian, which is not what I'm saying Reagan is exactly, but if you're conservative, then you want somebody who's kind of the opposite of that to balance out the ticket, right? That's what they say. So that was George Bush. He was the opposite of Reagan. And he was like, you know what? Let's go hang out with Yasser Arafat. The Jewish people, the prime minister of Israel, came out and was like, you know what? We're going to give you tons of stuff. We're going to give you whatever you want. This is later, right after. Because the first time they tried to negotiate with Yasser Arafat at Camp David with George Bush, basically they're all chummy and whatever, and nothing came out of it.
Right.
Then Clinton came along and was like, I'm going to make the deal. This is going to be great. Israel was like, we'll give you everything. We'll give you, I mean, it wasn't really everything, but it was a lot. And Yasser Arafat was like, you know what? How about we just kill you all? And I don't want none of it.
Yeah. Now
I want all of it. I want none of your negotiations.
Yeah. To be clear, if Yasser Arafat had accepted that deal and went back, they'd have hung his ass, man. They were not in any kind of negotiations at all. And he went back and was like, I told them no.
Yeah. Well,
you kind of screwed yourself there. And
yeah, because they offered all kinds of good stuff. They would be a lot happier at this point. But really, would they be happy? Because, I mean, it's kind of one of those. All right. 2006, in Palestine, they elect Hamas.
Right.
As the controlling party in their government.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to be clear, real quick, when Yasser Arafat died, some people asked them if they were going to bury Yasser Arafat in Jerusalem. And the Israelis were basically like, Jerusalem's for Jewish kings, not for Arab terrorists. No. And they're just like, nah, fuck that guy. And that kind of pissed people off.
A sour note on it.
Yeah.
2008, Israel offered the Gaza Strip back to Palestinians. They were like, nope, we want it all. 2008 Gaza War. Once again, Israel steps up. They seem to be really pretty good at the whole war thing, I gotta say.
Yeah, and if you've ever been to Israel, like, maybe you know Jewish people, maybe you're like familiar with your accountant's Jewish or something. You know some Jewish people that do this or that. Not really the same Jewish people. It's more like, hold my machine gun while I take a piss, Jewish people, you know?
Let me put my K-bar in my teeth while I and you got to remember, I think really where the whole Jewish superiority when it comes to I don't mean Jewish forces are superior to the rest of the world, whatever. What I'm saying is often over and over again in history, they're greatly outnumbered and they still do really well. And I think where that comes from is the typical intelligence gathering. Sorry, that's where I'm going. Yeah. Intelligence. Mm-hmm. Israel is like far superior. I believe that my own personal opinion would be that the whole intelligence thing all through the United States. I think our Pentagon has information leaking back to the Jewish people. I think our White House might have people in the
Yeah, sending
in the halls there, sending info over to Israel. I think they're everywhere. And then another thing that you have to take into account here is, you know, these are the same people. So, right, if you're all the same descendants, Arabic or Jewish, it's kind of not that hard to kind of sneak in and grow up and be that guy.
Right.
And like Russia, the Israeli people are typically known for, you know, starting out young. Oh, you're really smart and 15 years old. Let's send you over with your family to America. We'll help fund that and get you some papers. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, you're going to need to get that job in politics and, you know, keep us up to date on things. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that applies to France, England, all of Europe, you know, South America, Asia, you know, a lot of those places. So all this intelligence, how come they didn't know about these November 7th attacks? What happened there? Turns out maybe they did. It sounds like they had info about this about a year before about what this plan was. And as that information traveled up the chain of command, it just kind of disappeared. It just kind of went away. So maybe somebody knew about this and were like, let's pretend we don't know anything about it.
There you go.
You know,
secrets.
That might be a conspiracy theory, but I've heard it so many times. It feels like, you know, the New York Times did report on it. And generally speaking, they have pretty good sources. But, you know, that shit happens.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, they keep, you know, these strategic bombing, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we know that this building is filled with all these people. And there's this many people that, you know, we don't want to kill. And, you know, it seems very strategic for like an attack. Like, oh, we know there's 37 people in this building. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they just have good thermal, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, there have been a lot of suspicious bombings, a lot of suspicious terrorist attacks, and we could talk all day about weird conspiracy theories, and most of them are most of them come out of like anti-Semitic weirdos, like neo Nazis and shit like that. Some of them are real though. Some of them actually did happen, were proven to have happened.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shady shit going on in the Middle East, and if I were you, I would not go visit.
Really?
I would not go there. You might be like, oh, I want to go to Nazareth and see where Jesus was born. I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to go to
Bethlehem and touch the stone. There's this church.
Yeah.
And they got this little piece, and they're like, you could touch right there is the
right
spot
there is where
out.
Yep. That's where all the placenta juice was spilled. And they know all this somehow.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, throughout history.
But yeah, they've
found some weird shit. Do you know that they actually have the cross that Jesus died on?
The burial one. Okay.
The real one, yeah. I mean, it's split up into pieces now. Like, everybody got like a little splinter at their church, and, you know, it's all Catholic shit. The way they found this, interestingly or not, was interestingly enough, it was during the Crusades, a queen from, can't remember the country she traveled to, went there. And they found some dudes like, I know where they're at, bro. And they brought them there. Found four crosses there. Or not four, three of them, right?
Three.
Because there are two, thieves that were crucified next to Jesus on either side, right?
Well, because how do they figure out? Because they had the guy they pardoned. Remember, he's like, I'm going to let one guy free.
Barbarous?
Let Jesus
is that his name?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So how did they figure out which was Jesus' cross and which was the other ones? Well, they killed three slaves and nailed them onto the cross.
Okay.
And the one that came back to life
was
the real cross. That's the story anyway. So they brought that cross back to Europe and chopped it into a bunch of pieces, and everybody's got a little splinter at their church and you know, Catholicism. Now,
somewhere in the 90s or 2000, around 99, 2000, I was over in Israel. And we went to Haifa or whatever, and I did the whole Jerusalem tours and, you know, all that, climbed some mountains or something, saw the Dead Sea, you know, all these things, horseback riding, who knows what was happening. But they have all the tours and you go everywhere. And half of the places at the time were like Muslim owned, and they'd be like, oh, this is where, you know, the tomb of Jesus, you know, was in, yeah, was here. And this is the actual like slab they laid him out on. And these, mm-hmm, this was Muslim owned at the time. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you got cash? We're all about Jesus. Yep. It, yeah, right here. Well, price, I mean, is right. Yeah. Flight
Muslims
tonight.
Do respect Jesus as a prophet, right, and a teacher. Prophet, it's not, right? They're not anti-Jesus.
Down, yeah. Right. Right. And, you know, and you're like, well, Jewish Jesus. I mean, the Jews, they actually, you don't even want to know what they did to Jesus. They
you're not even allowed to talk about that according, no, to the Catholic, oh, Church.
There, okay. So there's this. We know it. We don't, yeah, bring that up.
Let's get into this one a little bit. So I think it's called a blood libel, right?
Okay.
And that's justification for Christians to kill Jews, right? Because Jews are the ones that killed Jesus. If you've read the Bible and know anything about theology, it's not really just the Jews. It's kind of everybody that
I've been, right. I've been seeing this post. But yeah, I've been seeing a post on the internet lately of they're like, yeah, you don't really want to like be a Christian because, you know, the religious people are a little over the top, crazy. The words hypocrisy sometimes come to mind.
Sometimes
liars,
I hear that word, yeah.
Sometimes come to mind. And they're like, but what you got to remember is you just don't like religious people. And it turns out Jesus may have had a problem with some religious people too.
It turns out.
You know, they weren't actually good to Jesus,
mm-hmm,
in the church. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. Also, I seem to remember something about a temple and tables flipping over, like all the Pez dispenser. They had like little Jesus bobbleheads or whatever, and they were, mm-hmm, flying everywhere. Like it was a rough time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff, though. I mean, there's a lot of anti-Semitic shit that I hear. There's a lot of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. A lot of like weird shit justification for it. And sort of, believe it or not, Jesus was actually a Jew. He was Jewish. Did you know that?
Kevin. Actually, you can't Jewish. Make up stories. He was a white guy.
Yeah, I know. You hear the white guy shit. And a lot of people say, you know, and here's another one that that a couple of people talk about, Jesus was black. So in Revelations, they talk about how Jesus's hair was white like wool. And they say, well, if it was like wool, it was curly, like a black person's hair.
Smart.
He said it was white like wool. So it's not really.
No, he was giving a color comparison.
Yeah. And nobody described what Jesus looked like. And the idea that we have no idea what people in Israel looked like at that time is ridiculous.
No idea.
There's multiple paintings of people that lived in that area at that time. And Jesus probably did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. What? Probably had olive skin, black curly hair, a beard.
Kevin, are you trying, yeah, to disrupt my whole paradigm? Yeah.
No, Jesus was not a white European dude.
What people keep saying, they're like, well, you know, if you Google it, Jesus's language is Aramaic or whatever it is at the, mm-hmm, and that tracks, you know, like, yep, like that's the thing, like the Bible, and that's the whole like Bible history thing, you know, it's written in Hebrew for the Old Testament. And typically most of it, again, it's all put together. You have different books, different times, all put together. And you have a bunch of like priests and whatever that get together and, mm-hmm, decide, oh, this is what we're going to put. And this is the official. And right. I just feel like knowing how politics work, what got in there, what didn't, you know, you have these missing books and all these things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things. I believe it is very possible that God spoke and said things and people wrote it down. And it's possible that those aren't in the Bible. Like there are other things.
There are other books, right? You know, there's like, Judas actually wrote a book.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of books that aren't in the Bible that were maybe or maybe not written. You know, was it Macedonians? Those are books that, you know how there's like a big gap between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament? There's like 500 years missing in there, you know? There are actually books that people wrote, but they said in the books the that gap. This is not like divinely inspired. So they didn't include it in the Bible.
And that's also,
there's also stuff. So Judas, the gospel according to Judas. So according to this, Judas Iscariot, also known as Judas the Zealot, and we'll come back to that, wrote a book, maybe. It's dated to about the same time as the other gospels, where he said that this was a plan that he and Jesus had worked up, where he was going to like betray him on purpose. And, you know, that would fulfill the destiny and shit. The Catholic Church said if that's real, then Judas is a liar. Ain't true. So there you go. Weird stuff. Now, a lot of people talk about.
Well, whenever I call somebody a liar, I'm like, you, Judas.
Yeah.
So you're seeing it tracking here, right?
Yeah. So
once Judas you go down that road, it tracks.
Yeah. Judas was referred to as a zealot, right? And what is a zealot? I mean, we still use that word today. It's, you know, somebody that's politically or religiously fanatical, right?
Uh-huh.
Somebody zealous about something. At that time, zealots, though, were people that were Jews that were supporting overthrowing Roman occupation. And he thought, like, Jesus was going to be like a big general, lead the armies, and he's the Messiah. He's going to throw the Romans out. When it turned out that that's not what Jesus' game plan was, that's when he betrayed him, because he realized he didn't think he was the real Messiah. The real Messiah was going to come and kill all the Romans and like shoot laser beams out of his eyes and shit.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't have laser beams. It would have been lightning at that time. Shoot lightning out of his eyes and kill everybody. When it turned out that wasn't his thing, that's when Judas betrayed him. And a lot of people miss that little part of the Bible. I mean, he had a reason to betray him in his own mind.
In his own mind, right.
In his own mind. That was, you know, full of bullshit.
Kevin, but is Satan not the father of lies? Did he not? See what he did there? Yep. Yeah. That's how it just takes a seed and then it grows into something terrible and horrible. You know, it's funny. I was doing the research at the beginning of this. I don't want to, you know, deviate too much here. But so in my mind, it was always Isaac's two kids that were the whole Muslim and the Jewish religions. And it's not, like I said, it's Abraham's kids with the two wives is really where it all comes from. But in Genesis 25:22, they talk about Isaac, and he's married to Rebecca, who also couldn't conceive for a long time, you know, just like Abraham kind of thing, which you kind of wonder if it was really the woman who, you know, if there's like a, but we won't get into that, right? It was always the woman that couldn't do it.
It's the woman's fault.
And I've been saying that for, right. So anyway, this is word for word. And I think this is where it came from in my mind. So remember, this is not Ishmael and Isaac. This is Isaac's two children. And that's, we'll get into it. It's Esau and Jacob. But anyway, go on. So just don't like misquote history because you remember what I'm saying now. But check this out. It's pretty crazy. But the children struggled together in her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And I was like, in my mind, that was the whole, you know, Muslim and Jewish, you know, but how crazy is that? And they do grow up to be like warring factions and the whole thing. But how crazy is that, that you're fighting in the womb? I mean, that's a hatred that's going to last. You know what? I was like, that's it. That's, you know, how are they not going to be at war for forever when, right. you know, I mean, that's, I don't know. I just thought that was crazy reading that. I'm like, yeah. And that did not, I, like I said, it was in the back of my mind and just, I was like, that's how it all started, you know? But I, after I read it again and I'm like, yeah. And then I started doing more research and they're like, no, it's Ishmael and Isaac. And yeah, I was like, that. Oh yeah, I'm an yeah. idiot and whatever. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I found that fascinating. Maybe, yeah. maybe not.
Now, historically, yeah. not speaking religiously, not regarding oh. the Bible, Abraham is an important figure because it brings out the idea of monotheism. Before that, there were a bunch of gods. You know what I mean? Before right. that, everybody believed in a bunch of gods, and specifically like a god of an area. Yeah. Like you might have one god in your area, but then you go to another spot. He's not in charge over there. It's a different god. And monotheism kind of started with Abraham, and the earliest version of that was Zoroastrianism, which is still exists. There's like 120 of them. Tell There's me not that. Not a whole lot of these but guys.
After this episode, there might be 121.
Right. There you go.
All right.
So if you want to get into it and look up Zoroastrianism, it's interesting. It's kind of weird, but it's similar to Judaism and Islam and Christianity. The weird thing is that
religion practically anyway.
is that Christians have basically, you know, three gods, right? The Trinity. They're all one God, but there's Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, right? And they all kind of work together. They're all the same thing. They're not really the same thing. They're all different, but they're all like
different whatever. Parts of the same whole.
But it's important. It's important that you always remember to be a Christian that it's only one. You got to be a monotheistic. You can't have multiple gods, you know?
Oh, there's no other God but me.
Yeah. If you don't believe in the Trinity though, then that's a cult. That's what a cult is.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Kevin, I feel like I'm concerned. I'm confused. I need to find a good pastor. I need to go have some talking. If you can explain the Trinity and put it in the comments, that would be great for you guys, for Kevin.
Yeah, nobody understands that.
Nobody. I don't know.
The Holy Spirit is an expression of God's love.
It took all I had to put together an episode just to kind of give you a timeline on the whole Jewish-Palestinian history. Mm-hmm. But. You know, whatever. I'm just saying. It's.
Yeah. All right. So now that we have Muslims, Christians, and
we've offended equally
pissed off at us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know we're wrong somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We said all sorts of horrible shit, and we're both getting canceled tomorrow when this comes out.
Luckily, we have no subscribers on YouTube because you guys are not hitting the button. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have to worry about the powers that be at YouTube. You know, finding out what we said because
nobody's actually gonna watch this or listen to this or any of that.
You know, the bunch of you here now, but that's always what I wonder. You know, I'm like, well, how do they? Whenever I post, like, we'll record an episode like this and I'll post it to Facebook, and they'll be like, you posted offensive material, and I'm like, how do you even know? Like, I just recorded it. And it's not like a written out track. And they're like, it was horrible. Whatever you said, you're going to hell and you're wrong.
Right. And I'm actually looking at you and me on this video feed. And I think we both look like xenophobic, Islamophobic, homophobic,
a little darker,
anti-Semitic.
Than mine. I think that you could, you know, it could be the lighting. I might be able to click a button and change and my skin tone.
Get a little bit more olive. Yeah.
Anyway,
both look like super racist assholes, but
that's
whatever.
The one. That's where we'll go. All right. Anyway, so you guys are wondering, what do I get for Christmas? What do I do? Take care of that somebody I care about. Preppingbadass@gmail.com. Click on gear up top and see if you can't find out, you know, any cool things that you might need. You know, the wife might really get annoyed every time she hears the podcast. So how much better could you make her morning if she had a Survival and Basic Badass podcast mug? I'm just saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because then, or maybe you just need one so you can drink it and she'll be like, such an asshole.
You know, should get one with a picture with me like this.
Yeah.
On the side, and that
Kevin,
really...
we're going to put that mug together. All right. We're going to make that happen all for right. you guys. Kevin will be the backside of the mug. And maybe we just need you on the back of a t-shirt where it's like Survival Basic Badass Podcast on the front and you with the
and me in the back. I'm all about it.
I think that tracks. We'll see if we can't put that together. Anyway, questions, concerns, thoughts, comments, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I appreciate all the comments. You know, and feedback you can leave us because it only helps grow the channel. Also, we appreciate you sharing it, telling your friends about it, and see if you can't spread the love a little bit because, you know, obviously it's great stuff. So we appreciate you sticking around. All right. Thanks. Talk to you guys next week.
Country. Rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.